On our program, we often talk with musical artists who release cover albums, their versions of songs made popular by others. Now comes a project where writers, some of the most acclaimed of our time, retell Shakespearean tales in their own words. Jeanette Winterson's new novel is called The Gap of Time, and it is a reimagining of The Winter's Tale. It's the first book in the series to be published. She joins me now from London. Thanks so much for being with us, Jeanette.
Thank you for inviting me.
Rewriting Shakespeare, no small task. Can you explain a little more about the project and the thinking behind it, how it came to you?
Yeah. I mean, look, next year is the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's death, and this is Britain, so we're going to go into, like, Bardomania next year. It'll be, you know, Shakespeare wall to wall. But it was a great idea, I think, of the Random House team to say, OK, let's just take writers from around the world and see what they can do with some of these Shakespeare plays. Just choose one that matters to you and change it, alter it, play with it. And, of course, it's perfectly right for Shakespeare, who never invented a plot and just used to, in that, take apart other people's work and bolt it back together in his own image. You know, he'd think this was exactly the right way to deal with a text.
So why The Winter's Tale?
Well, it's got an abandoned baby in it, and I am one. And, you know, abandoned babies in literature do pretty well, not just in literature, in popular culture. You know, Superman, Spider-Man, Han Solo in the Star Wars trilogy. You know, he doesn't know who his father is, famously. So the idea of being a foundling, you know, a child with two lives is very interesting imaginatively. But if it's also your reality, then you're going to start reading, looking for clues about yourself. Because being adopted is like going to the theatre after curtain up, or, you know, getting a book with the first few pages ripped out. You're always looking for the missing story. So when I was a kid, you know, a 16 teenager, I was reading Shakespeare and I thought that, yeah, this one's got a lost child in it. This will give me a clue.
Can you give us a synopsis of this play for those of us, and I will cop to being one of them, but for those of us who have not read The Winter's Tale?
The Winter's Tale, it starts, it's like Othello on speed, really. You know, you've got a guy who suddenly becomes insanely jealous of his wife and his wife's best friend. She's pregnant, she's about to give birth, and in Shakespeare's play, the king suddenly thinks, it's not my baby, you know, it's my best friend's baby, and I'm gonna throw her out, I'm going to try and kill him, I'm going to abandon the child. You know, it's the usual male rage, you know,
yeah.
It's homicide from every pore. So, you know, it's a very modern story. We all know it's happening on the streets every day. And that's what Shakespeare was looking at. But of course, the baby, although it's thrown out, you know, then grows up to be a lovely young woman whose survival identity is so necessary, you know, to go on forward with the tale. And, you know, she's taken to another country. She grows up and eventually she's reconciled with her father. And we believe that her mother, the queen, is dead. But in fact, she's not. And at the end of the story, you know, she comes back and everybody, you know, finds that there's a new ending.
Let's talk about your reimagined versions of these characters.
So you've got Leontes and Polixenes, Leontes, king of Sicilia, Polixenes, king of Bohemia, you know, invented places. So I thought, OK, I'm going to set it in the present day. But I thought, a king, what's that? It's an alpha male. So and somebody who's in control, who thinks he's like a lord of the universe, a time lord. He can do what he likes. And I thought, who would that be now? I thought, it's got to be a banker, hasn't it? Somebody just think, do what you like with other people's lives and spend all the money. So I thought, OK, we'll have Leo and he can run a hedge fund called Sicilia. And we'll have his best friend. We won't call him Polixenes. We'll call him Zeno. We'll make Zeno a gay guy who designs video games in an imagined American city called New Bohemia, which, yes, you know, is New Orleans in a different disguise.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that's kind of my setting for it.
Describe their relationship.
Well, in the play, you don't get any backstory for any of the characters. And what I wanted to do was build those stories. And I thought, why are these two guys both, why are they so close? And also, why are they, what's this jealousy about? Because it's really a triangle. It's not just that Leo's jealous about his wife. He's jealous about his best friend as well.
He thinks they are
having an affair. But he's also, you know, there's a kind of homoerotic impulse behind it, which is just under the surface in Shakespeare. So I sent them off to boarding school together, you know, a couple couple of young kids from damaged families that these two guys become friends for life. They have a usual kind of affair at boarding school, no big deal. Leo goes on to be a rampant heterosexual. Zeno is gay. And for a while that works beautifully, and then the conflict sets in. So that's the basis of the story.
And the central tension, we don't want to give away too much, but it is about ideas of loyalty, of fidelity.
Yeah, because, you know, Leo just manages to smash everything up. He betrays his wife, his best friend, the people around him, his business. You know, the fallout of male rage is always huge, isn't it? It's like, how much can I destroy in how short a time?
Have you had some angry men in your life, Jeanette?
Oh, there's a lot of angry men out there. You know, I mean, look, the whole planet's at war. What are you talking about? You know, gunning each other to pieces. And what Shakespeare's saying is, you know, it takes 5 minutes to destroy it. How long is it going to take to build this right again? The trust, you know, the love, the lives, you know, the fallout. And in the play, it takes 16 years.
Leo tried to destroy his best friend.
Yeah.
Tried to destroy his wife.
He
gives away the baby he thinks is not his. And this baby's name is the lost one.
Perdita.
Perdita.
Yeah, Perdita, the little lost one, is what the name means.
Because you have this personal experience, because you were adopted, did you find yourself imbuing Perdita with some of your own story?
The central story is the story of that dislodgement, that abandonment, and having to try and find yourself. And Perdita doesn't know her own backstory, you know, just as I didn't know mine. And eventually she discovers it. And I think when she decides to come to London and look for Leo, she's really struggling with that idea. You know, should I do it? What's it going to be like? Maybe I'll go and stand across the street so that I can catch a glimpse of him. That's something I can really relate to. You know, when I was looking for my biological mother, what I wanted more than anything was to see her across the street. So looking at, you know, this story where you've got a child searching for her own identity, yes, you know, I could really relate to that and put it in.
How many liberties did you take, were you allowed to take in reinventing this Shakespearean play?
Do what you like, can't you? He's dead. But absolutely, you know, and I think Shakespeare would have respected this. You know, if I was channeling him now, you know, through the Ouija board, I think he would be saying, look, this is fine, because he never invented a plot. And, you know, he just used to take other people's stuff and rework it. So, I felt great freedom there.
The new novel is called The Gap of Time. It's written by Jeanette Winterson. Thank you so much for talking with us, Jeanette.
Thank you very much. Bye.